Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. How many of y'all here born again?
Hallelujah!
Praise God. That means something's happened. That means you're a new creation in Christ and old things have passed away. And all things have become new. Amen. We wouldn't be here if God wasn't drawing us here. We wouldn't be here if there was a purpose and a plan that he has predestined me and you to fulfill. Well, the one thing is we need to start walking in it so that he can fulfill it, because you and I can't. But he gives us the tools to continue to guide, to learn, and go forward. And one of the things that is important that we begin to understand, and I just got a short little message tonight, and I just want to share with you. Hallelujah. Hey, look at my notes. It's short. Hallelujah. We're going to have to learn that song. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Psalm 133? Glory to God. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 133. Glory to God. Let's see. Oh, he's good. He's faithful when we're faithless. He's there when we're a bunch of boneheads. He's there when we're not. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Praise God. Psalm 133, let's read this together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, it is good and pleasant. Who's it good and pleasant to? It's good and pleasant to us, but it's good and pleasant to the Lord because he sees his children in unity. That is very important to the Lord, that he sees his children in unity. Because a house divided will not stand. You know. And verse 2. It is like a precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron. Now you got to understand that Aaron was a priest. He was a priest for God. And it says, listen, when it, and there's unity, it's like precious oil. Oil means God's presence. Means the Holy Spirit. So understand that when we come together, there's a special anointing, there's a special presence that's happening right now. Regardless of where you've been, what you've done, the Lord is working on us. Even right now, there are things that he's doing in me and you right now as we're sitting here. Because we made the choice to come to him. Amen? And you notice it says running down the beard of Aaron, and then it says running down on the edge of his garments, because even right now as the Spirit of the Lord is working in us, we're beginning to change. Right now. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. There's a blessing in this unity. And he commanded the blessing of life forevermore. Well, the word says, he who sows to the Spirit reaps life. So know that right now, you and I that are in this group right now is recognized as a corporate body. It is a corporate body. We're a specific body or a member of a whole body of Christ. And one of the things that we talk about, you know, we say, well, we're going to church. Or we talk about the church in, as a whole. And I want to share a couple of things about church, the church. Because there's more meaning than just the church. You know, the world, you go to an unbeliever and you say, yeah, I'm going to church, they only look at it as a building. You know, they look at it as a four walls with a door and an altar and people doing strange things in there. Praise God. So you and I must begin to understand the importance of the church, not just as a building. Because the church is not an organization. The church is an organism. Okay? The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. And there's something special about the church of God. We are the church. Not only corporately, but as individually. Amen? Would you turn to Matthew 16? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. Is everybody there? In verse 13, praise be to God, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the Lord always brings questions to me and you. He always brings a question because he's trying to bring us to another place. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and the others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Now he's bringing it individually. First of all, he says, who do they say that I am? Then he says, now who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now the word Christ means anointed one. Does everybody understand that? So Jesus is the Christ. He's the anointed one, and his anointing, which he carries the anointing, who is the Holy Spirit. Okay. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So Peter got a revelation through the voice of the Spirit, okay, of a truth. He said, flesh and blood didn't give this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. He was going to build the church on the revelation that Peter got. The revelation was that Jesus is the anointed one and his anointing, and it's the Spirit of the Lord that's going to build the church. Does everybody get it? And he says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Well, you know, what's happened in the body of Christ, which is known as the church, and we'll get more into it, there has been division. There's been a lot of division. One of the things the devil did was slip in and start denominations. One of the things he started to do is hold on to men's traditions and programs began to establish in the churches instead of the truth and the word. And then divisions began. Then there began competition in the body of Christ. Who has the best program or the best formula? And there began spiritual competition with one another. Who is the most spiritual, which produced granolas, nutty and fruity people. Amen. And those things were not given by God. They were given by the powers of darkness. But the Word says that those who love the Lord, all things will work to the good. So there are people that have been deceived and pushed out of position that love the Lord, and the Lord is trying to work through them for something good to happen. But it'd be a lot easier if they would do the perfect will of God and the body of Christ was in unity. There was a woman that had a vision one time and was sharing with me about it, and it was powerful. She said she saw a puddle of blood, big puddle of blood. And she saw members of body members of Jesus. In one place there was an arm, one place there was a leg, one place was a foot, and they were scattered all over. It wasn't in unity. And man, it hurt my heart. And I could still see that vision in such a great way, what she explained it to me. And it is the blood through the Spirit that keeps the unity. But God is trying to bring the body of Christ together, and I believe right now it is very important for understand about the church and the body, because we got to begin to lay down differences. We've got to begin to lay down differences. So what? So what if they don't do this? And so what if they, okay, well, praise God, you need to thank God of where you're at and what you know. Amen. So that we can bring it to others. And one thing is, if nobody's willing to accept the truth and want to stay into the tradition, then so be it. That's all you can do. Amen. But what's the greatest weapon the devil has? Deception. You go in parts of the body and you start teaching about tongues. Today I taught about tongues in a jail and to our small drug class. Here we have a drug class. We're teaching about tongues. Hallelujah. but it's true. And they just shared with me. They said, man, they just had a guy that came in and preached all this stuff against it. And all of this, just the other day or the day before, and God is so good because, he sends us in because we're known as cleanup batters. To go in and declare the truth. But, the thing is every time you go in there, then the devil sends one of his servants in there, and it brings division. So now people don't want to get, now they're content in where they're at. And it causes division in the body of Christ. And the reason why people preach on against tongues is because they haven't got it. It's because they don't have the Spirit. They have the letter. So they preach against the things of the Spirit, justifying who they are. Hallelujah. Let's get back to this. So Jesus said, and on this revelation I will build my church. I called one time, we got this video about rock and roll sorcerers or something. And it came from this place called the Most Holy Whatever. I'm like, man, what is this? And they sent me some other video in it, and it was about the Catholic Church and the Virgin Mary and all this other stuff, and about, they were just exalting and worshiping. And so I called the place up and I said, well, I'd like to send you this video back. And this dude tried to quote me the scripture, and he said, Peter got the revelation that he was the first pope, and Jesus said that he's going to build his church on the pope. I said, brother, if you had the Spirit, you get the understanding. I said, don't you get it? No flesh shall be glorified. Since when would Jesus build his church on a man? He couldn't understand that. So I ended up just hanging up and throwing the video out. But, because of these traditions of men and because of this religion and garbage that's involved in the body of Christ, and there are people who love the Lord but are deceived. Well, we've got to, Paul said put up with it. Sometimes you just got to put up with it. But don't let it push you out of position. Yeah. Amen. Don't let it push you in the flesh. Amen. Let it keep you in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we know that it's the Spirit of the Lord that builds the church. It is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go to... Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't dead, is he? No. So that means if the Holy Spirit's building the church should be alive. We're not supposed to be dead bones. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Would you read it with me? For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So you're God's building, aren't you? Hallelujah. Every one of us is a brick in his building. Amen. Let's go on. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. So understand this. The Spirit lays the foundation. Amen. Now he starts to build on it, but he causes you to build it. He builds through you as an individual because you are a building. Amen. And you're a part of a big building. But you are a specific building yourself, part of a bigger building. Okay? Let's go further. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So understand this. Everyone's work will be tested, because far be it that we should labor in vain. Now he's saying, everybody's work is going to be tested in supporting and building the church. Now he says it's not built by cash. It's not built by straw or clay or whatever, or wood or stones. Those are things of the earth. It's built by things of the Spirit. Now the Spirit will take the things of the earth for his purpose. But if the foundation is built by the things of the earth, it's not going to work. Does everybody get it? There's a difference in the Spirit taking the things of the earth and working it than somebody taking the things of the earth and trying to build it. And that's what the Lord calls two different types of wisdom. One is known as demonic and the other one known as spiritual. That's real simple. There are a lot of people who know how to build things. Some of them are geniuses that can build computers and do all kinds of stuff. Some of them are geniuses that can sit down and calculate, but they have no idea how to build the house of God. So they labor in vain. It brings support to mankind and a certain asset. But in the true reality, in the long run, how does it bring support to the body of Christ? Not that God can't use anyone, can he? He can use anybody. He can use a believer or an unbeliever. But you and I want to stand before God on that day when we are judged by our works. Not that our works get us into heaven. Amen. You're not trying to earn favor of God to get you in heaven. You've already got it. Now you got to maintain it. But what you and I are laboring for is we're laboring unto the Lord to expand his kingdom and bring glory to his name. And that's the purpose of the church, is continue to expand his kingdom and bring glory to his name. And what some part of the church is not being able to establish, there should be support there of those who are establishing. So we get it? Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a what?
Reward.
Praise God. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so are through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that you and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we see here that the Lord says a few things through Paul. One of the things that he states is that we are a building and we are a temple. And how it's built, he gives us the tools, spiritual tools, to build this temple in his building. Does everybody get it? Now, we can look at it at two different things. The building is also a representation of the corporate whole body of Christ. And you and I are known as individual temples. Amen? In fact, at the end, when this age is over and so forth, we'll be known as pillars in the temple of God. Hallelujah. With a new name and everything else. So we see here that the body of the church has been called so far a building and a temple. It's been a building and a temple. And we know that the master builder is Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is the one who builds it. Does everybody get it? Okay. Let's go to Hebrews 4:14. Yeah, do it here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you read verse 14 for me? Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Wow. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. So understand that every temple has a priest. And our high priest is Jesus. Does everybody get it? Okay. And so he's been tempted the same way you and I have been, and he sympathizes with us. That's why he knows what we need. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Peter 5. So we see here that we've been called, the body, the church has been called a building and a temple. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. Let's start at verse 1. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonor gain, but eagerly, nor are being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now we see here that the church is known as a flock. Church is known as a flock. And every flock has a what? Hallelujah. John 4, or John 10. John chapter 10. In verse 11, let's start. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now we know that because in a flock there are sheep, right? In verse 16, and the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And that is the purpose. That was the purpose of the Lord. One of the things he said, he prayed, he said that they would be one as we are one. Amen. And he said that someday I'm going to go get the rest of my flock that's of another fold or another generation or another area. And I'm going to bring them together, those who have died. And he's not talking about other planets, okay?
Amen.
We want to shut that door right now. There's the other fold is those who have died and gone home. Okay. He's going to bring them all, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Amen. And one of the things that sometimes I believe is stopping so much flow or so many things in this earth is because the body of Christ is in division. And the Lord says, blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they shall see God. You know? And I know sometimes it's not easy to be a peacemaker, especially if some religious demon is down your throat. Amen.
Amen.
But you got to depart from evil.
Amen.
You know, one thing wants the devil always wants to do is get you in his ring. If you get in the ring, you lose. You don't go in a ring unless the Lord sends you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we see here that now we've been the church has been known as a building, a temple, and a flock, right? Praise God. All right, let's go a little further. John 3. So we have a high priest, a shepherd, and a master builder. John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Go to verse 29. Would you read this with me? He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. And this was John speaking. Now listen, he who has the bride has the what?
Bridegroom.
So we know that there is a bridegroom and there is a bride. Here the body of Christ is called the bride. It's known as the bride of Christ. The church is known as the bride of Christ. Amen? Go to Matthew 25. Now the church is known as the bride. So the church has been known as a building, a temple, a flock, and a bride. Now the building has a master builder. The flock, the temple has a high priest. The flock has a shepherd. And the bride has a bridegroom. Then the kingdom of heaven, in verse 1, shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, who's he talking about? Us. He calls us virgins. Isn't it wonderful that when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you repent for your sins, you're washed, totally washed. You're a virgin.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You may not feel like one and think like one. But you are. You're a virgin. Washed by the blood of Lamb. Clean, fresh to start all over. Hallelujah. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Okay, we can all go home now. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Well, they took the letter, but not the spirit. But the wise took oil in their vessels. Hallelujah. They praised and worshiped. They accepted the things of the spirit and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they were all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamp is going out." But the wise answered and saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." Those were known as carnal. They're still going to the world for fulfillment. And while they went out to buy, where did they go? They went out to buy. They could have bought right there, couldn't they? And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him. Those who were what?
Ready.
To the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you." Wow. Those were wannabes and not doers. They were deceived. They were doing the things, playing the part of religion, showing up at church, doing the things, a form of godliness, but denying the power. The Lord says, stay away from them.
Amen.
Amen? So we see that Jesus is the bridegroom, and we are known as the bride. The Holy Spirit is a seal of promise. The Holy Spirit is the one that engages you in preparation for marriage.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's see here. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Ooh. In verse 25. Oh, wait. Okay, I want to start somewhere else. Let's start at verse 17. Now, this is about marriage, but Paul's going to use an example of marriage as marriage with Christ. He says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord.
giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Why? Submitting to one another keeps unity, doesn't it? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now understand this. He's not talking to ungodly husbands. Does everybody get it? He's not talking about ungodly husbands. He does not expect a wife to stay home and be abused. He says, get out of there. Depart from evil. Amen? This is where the religion part is in many places. And people go to council. And because the person doesn't have fellowship in the Spirit, he tells the woman, listen, you got to submit to your husband no matter what. That's just plumb ridiculous. You don't submit to abuse. Anyway. Where was that? Okay. 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So Paul here uses the husband and wife as the church, which is us. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Wow. I wash my wife with the word. No, I don't tear the pages off. I speak them. That he might present... that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Does everybody get it? Praise be to God. It doesn't mean that you take your Bible and beat your wife with the word. Amen. Now, my wife tried to wash my Bible tonight by mistake, but, you know, praise God. So understand that he uses the comparison here of husband and wife as the way he is with me and you. In an intimate relationship. Intimate. Lovers. Friends. That's what he's trying to bring us to. Amen? Praise God. Go to Revelation 21. You know, the Word tells us, forsake not to assemble. It is so important that we assemble. Because it's that special unity. Did you ever notice that people who start going away from a flock, you know what happens? The wolf comes and takes them. I'm telling you. He starts coming and taking them. And you know what happens? The person gets deceived and thinks they can make it on their own. I can't make it without you. And you can't make it without me. And you can't make it without you, and you can't make it without... Does everybody understand that? We all need each other. And God allowed that to happen. Yes, Jesus is the head. But he put us... That's why we submit to one another. We can't make it without one another. You know, the Word says, go into the storehouse. The storehouses are the congregations or the flocks, the small flocks, where things can be done. When people need help, you know what they do? They call the church. You know, when, I remember when I was out there using, I'd try every church, you know. I mean, you know. The state wouldn't help me. I'd call the church. Hey, man, can you pay my rent? But you crazy. You know. They were smart. You know. But I didn't know of any places there where you can go in and get help. You know, because when I was brought up, I didn't know about the only church I knew was a building. No. But I didn't know about the trueness of Christ and the fellowship in the Spirit. But when I was born again and had my encounter with the Lord, and the Lord sent me to a small flock, and I hung around about 15, 20 people that were family to me. And they answered my questions, and they helped me out in certain things and whatever. They prayed with me and prayed for me. They were there to encourage me and comfort me and guide me. And that's what's so important about a flock, you know. Because what you need, you go to the church. And if the church would start doing its job, we wouldn't need welfare. I better stop right there. Revelation 21. And verse something. In verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And we see here, this is the final marriage. It's all going to be the final marriage. And it's known as the church. The body of Christ is known as the spiritual church. And we'll talk about that here in a second. Go to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Can you read this with me, starting at verse 4? For as we have many members in one body, but all the members of are not the same, have the same function. So we be in many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Wow. We better read that one more time. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Now, he's not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about a function or a purpose. He's not talking about the gifts of the Spirit, because anybody who is the Holy Ghost has got all the gifts. So we being many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. We're like blood vessels in the body. Glory to God. So we see here now the church is known as a what? Body. And where there's a body, there's a head. Everybody get it? Good. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. And verse 22. Well, maybe. Yeah, that sounds good. Ephesians 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Who's he talking about? Amen. Where there's a body, there's a what? A head. So now the church is known as the body. He's known as the body of Christ, which is his what? Body. the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Do you know that we are the body? It is the fullness of Him. We are the body who is the fullness of Him. He's trying to bring the fullness of Him out through His people.
Colossians 1, verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's read it. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. You've got to understand something. Everything was created for Him and through Him. Everything. The principalities, the powers of darkness, even Satan. He uses it all for His purpose. To form you and me. Because this is training ground for what awaits us for eternity. Oh, wow. Okay. Verse, 17? And He is above all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Wow. It is the beginning, woohoo, of something that is representation of eternal. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. The blood of His cross. Made peace. He brought all the things that were prepared for us and predestined for me and you in the fullness through His blood into the body of Christ. See, Jesus birthed me and you on the cross. Out of the side came Eve from Adam. And when Jesus' side was pierced and blood and water came out, it was a representation of His church coming. So He birthed me and you through what He did on the cross. That's why we're known as the bride and Him as the bridegroom. Eve was known as the woman. Adam was known as the man. Everybody got it? And verse 21. And you were once alienated and enemies in your, where? In your mind, by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Now He says what? If, indeed you what? Continue in the faith. So that means we have a choice. Anybody can walk away at any time they want. Grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. He's going to tell you the mystery now. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's powerful. So that's Christ in me. Remember, not only are you and I in Christ, but He's now in us. We're in Him and He's in us. And we are the body of Christ. And everyone has a specific function. He never meant separation of gifts. He meant function. Does everybody get it? Glory to God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. In fact, the Bible tells us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. You know, some people have a hard time in surrendering to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if somebody sees the desire for a gift, sometimes they go after the gift and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? That's why the Bible tells us that tongues is a sign for an unbeliever. People wanting to get tongues, they see it, they've accepted the Lord, now they want tongues. Well, that means they need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. So as they're desiring to get tongues, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Does everybody get it? That's why Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, but I want you to earnestly desire the gifts. But then there are those who just think that God's going to come up and start wagging their tail and or their tongue and whatever. And I'm not saying that he can't, because he can. But he, first of all, he says, draw near to him, and then he'll draw near to you. But he said, look at, he doesn't want us to be ignorant about the gifts, and that's why I shared with you that it's important. He's not talking about the gifts when he talks about different functions in the body of Christ. All right? Now I want to share a little bit about that. Go to verse 4. Read this with me. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So he's talking about the profit of who? The body of Christ. So he's talking about that there are diversities of gifts, there's diversities of ministries, and there's diversity of activities. Because everybody has different functions. And whatever function God has for you in preparation, he'll give you the gifts to fulfill it. And that's where people fall into traps. They fall into trouble because they start trying to fulfill a position what God has not ordained them for. Amen? Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Start of verse 4. Would you read this with me? There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us was grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this is he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now you got to understand something, that he's saying that everybody does his share in the body of Christ. So he's placed offices, hasn't he? Now all of us are preparing to fulfill an office. Does everybody get it? God prepares us to fulfill an office for a specific function or whatever it may be. Amen? And one of the things he was stating here is that we have the unity of one Lord and one baptism. Now let me share something with you. I do not believe he's talking about the baptism of water. Because you couldn't get, you know, people can die without getting baptized in water and they're going to heaven. Does everybody get it? As long as you've accepted and repented. The baptism of water is symbolic. It is symbolic. Does everybody understand it? But I still require, and I believe that it's essential that we get baptized in water because it's symbolic. But if nobody ever got baptized in water and died, they would not go to hell. Because it's not about a ritual, it's about a relationship. Okay? Praise God. But there is one baptism that he's talking about into the body of Christ, where the gifts are available, where the rivers of living water flows, where there is life. And he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get it? That's what one of the divisions is, isn't it? That's the biggest division. There are people who like part one but don't want to do part two. In Acts chapter 2. One through four. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Hallelujah. That means they were in unity. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of the rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were all sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was the beginning of the church. Right here. It was brought by who? The Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them. This was the beginning of the church. Those who were baptized in the church. They were baptized into the body of Christ. Christ meaning anointed one and his anointing. There's the difference between saved and born again. Ooh, that's a whole nother teaching. Hallelujah. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 27. Is everybody there? Let's read it. For as many as of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. Wow. Well, how can you put on Christ if you haven't been baptized in Christ in the Spirit? Does everybody get it?
There are many who want to put on Christ, but they've only been saved. But when you become born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, you put on Christ. You become a new creation, and old things have been passed away. So you no longer desire the other things. You're a new creation. That's a powerful word, creation. You're a brand new creation. You're no longer the same person you used to be. Your desires are gone. Your thoughts of the other ways are gone. Your heart is set forth in another direction towards God. You're a new creation. You're not the same person you used to be. You got that right. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Read it with me, please. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Well, how can it be by the Spirit if it's just talking about water? It can't be. He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Woohoo! For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Everybody get it? Good. Let's go to Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. Is everybody understanding this? Romans chapter 7. And verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died what held, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the latter. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now go to Revelation 2. That we should serve in the newness of what? The Spirit. And not of the letter. Newness of the Spirit in Revelation 2. That's right, brother, for me and you. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2. Now we see here, in fact, if you'll back up, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So what he's getting about to do is send a message out to his churches. And the number seven means complete and what? Perfect. So this is a message to the body of Christ and how to stay in unity and how to maintain. And I'm just going to hit some key things through each letter, okay? In verse 4, when the Lord wrote a letter, he sent his messenger to this church. And this is what I'm just going to share a certain scripture out of each letter. Does everybody understand that? Just so that we get understanding that these are things that you and I must do to maintain. In verse 4, read it with me. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Yow. Everybody get it?
Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. See, when we lose him as our first love, we're in trouble. Unity. Unity to the end. Go to verse 10. He's writing to another church. He says what? Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. Ooh. That you may be what?
Tested.
So, you know what? God allows the devil to throw you in prison sometimes. So that you can get tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So we're to endure temptation and tribulation. Does everybody understand that? Count it all joy as you go through it. Don't blame everybody else. Hello? They didn't do it. Yeah, but, no, no, no. Praise God. Take your own responsibility. In verse 14. Would you read it with me? But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam and who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to all idols, and to make sexual immorality. You know what? They compromised. We cannot compromise. We see we must maintain our first love, we must endure temptation, and we must not compromise. In verse 20, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and anything sacrificed to idols. Wow. Worldly seduction of worldly programs and traditions of men. We must be careful not to be seduced by the world and the lust of it. We must keep worldly traditions out of the church. Worldly programs. I remember one time we went to an event and we were invited to go there and bring our products there. And, you know, it was a club, it was a nightclub. And I went in there, man, let me tell you what. Demon, I mean, it was like hell on earth. And what they did was they closed up all the liquor so nobody, and they were getting ready to have a Christian event there. And I said, Lord, you really want me in this place? And they came out to me and said, we can't use you. Praise God. Because they wouldn't let us bring the juice in there. They had the Word of God. And I'm driving on the way home and I said, you know, Lord, I don't understand it. He says, listen, you don't have to become a part of the world to save them. You don't have to become like them to save them. I said, whoa. Cool. I went home, didn't have to fight off all those demons, just a few that we picked up a little bit. Verse 24. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. Be content in what you have. Hold fast of what you have. Stay in position. Does everybody get it? Stay in position. Don't look at what you don't have. Be content in what you have. And let the Lord build your house. In chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, be what? Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain,
that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Be watchful and strengthen the weak. What does that do? It keeps unity. Keeps unity. And in 3:10, it says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole earth, the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Keep the truth to persevere to the end. It's truth that sets us free, isn't it? See, the devil always likes to try and steal the truth from you. Keep the truth and persevere to the end. And in verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Stay hot. Stay on fire. Do whatever you got to do when you start to see yourself begin to fall back. Ask the Lord to quicken you and fire you up again. Does everybody understand that? So these are just seven little things that we want to do to maintain in the unity in the body of Christ. Understand that it's more than just a church. It is a family. It is not an organization. It's a living organism. And every one of us has a function. We're to watch each other's back. That's why the full armor of God has got no protection for the back. Does everybody get it? We're to watch each other's back. We're to encourage one another. And yes, you're going to find all kinds of stuff in the body of Christ, but you're just going to have to put up with it. You do your part and don't let it push you out of position. And let Christ flow through you, that others will want what you have. And they'll go to part two and get the fullness of Christ. Amen? To God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I ask that you'll quicken us and impart in us that as we begin to look at other believers, that we will get the understanding that they are a living organism in your body. And they are a part of us. Lord, I ask that those who are falling behind and not doing what they're supposed to be doing, that you'll convict them and position them to begin to do what they're supposed to do, that your kingdom will be expanded and your name will be glorified, and that the lost will be rescued and see the love of Christ in your people. Now, Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, and we thank you, Jesus, for this teaching. Let it go with us and stay with us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.